بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد Continuing reading in the book of الصلاه in the chapter the author he entitled رحمه الله تعالى باب الإمامة with regards to the rulings and regulations of the Imam and likewise those who are praying along with him and behind him. And we see that the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has mentioned several narrations with regards to al-i'timam, yani iqtida' al-ma'mum bi-imamihi fi salat al-jama'ah. Many narrations he has mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, clarifying the manner that the one praying along with the imam, he will follow. The proper manner for following the imam in the salah and how one should move whenever he is being led by the imam in the congregational prayer. So we continue reading in the author he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala wa Aisha radiyallahu anha annaha qalat salla rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi baytihi wa huwa shakin fa salla jalisan wa salla wara'ahu qawmun qiyaman فأشار إليهم أن اجلسوا فلما انصرف قال إنما جعل الإمام ليؤتم به فإذا ركع فاركعوا وإذا رفع فارفعوا وإذا قال سمع الله لمن حمد فقولوا ربنا ولك الحمد وإذا صلى جالسا فصلوا جلوسا أجمعون. The author, he mentioned a narration of Aisha radiallahu anha that she said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed in his house one day, whenever he was shakin, wa huwa shakin, shakin ay mariid, whenever he was sick, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This particular event has been narrated by Anas radiallahu anhu, clarifying what happened or the sickness of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this circumstance. And he said that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saqata min farasin fajuhisha shiqquhu al-ayman fadakhalna alayhi na'uduhu. And then the narration is similar. فَدَخَلْنَا عَلَيْهِ نَعُودُهُ. And the narration after this is similar like the narration of Aisha radiallahu anha. So she's saying that the Prophet, he prayed one day in his house while he was sick, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was praying sitting down, and some people, they prayed behind him. And some people, they prayed behind him. Anas radiallahu anhu, he clarified who those people were, and he mentioned that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he fell from a horse, and his right side was scraped, and this is the sickness that he was experiencing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had fallen from a horse and scraped his right side and injured himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, he was praying in his home. Anas said that we had come to visit him, and to visit him in his sickness and in his injury, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the event here that occurred. And the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of this injury, he was praying sitting in his home. And so Aisha, she says, وَصَلَّ وَرَأَهُ قَوْمٌ قِيَامًا. And there were people who prayed behind him standing. Praying behind him standing. Because it is known that standing is likewise a pillar from the prayer for the one who has the ability. So since the companions, they had the ability to stand, they stood in this manner, رضي الله عنهم. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fashara ilayhim an ijlisu. But the Prophet, he pointed to them and indicated to them with his hands to sit down. To sit down. فَلَمَّا انصَرَفَ قَالَ. And whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made taslim and he finished the prayer, he said, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامُ لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِهِ. That the Imam, he was only placed so that he could be followed. And this is that general principle that we had taken in our previous class in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And likewise, after this statement, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified some details of that principle similar to the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. فَإِذَا رَكَعَ فَارْكَعُوا. And if he makes ruku', then you make ruku'. وَإِذَا رَفَعَ فَارْفَعُوا. And if whenever he raises from ruku', then you raise from ruku'. And then you raise from ruku'. وَإِذَا قَالَ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِيدَ. And if the imam, he says, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِيدَ, Allah responds to those who praise him, فَقُولُوا رَبَّنَا وَلَكِ الْحَمْدِ. Then all of you say at this time, O our Lord, meaning, oh, our Lord, respond or accept our supplication and our prayer. Walaka alhamd, and all praise and thanks belongs to you. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told them, wa idha salla jalisan fasallu julusan ajma'un, and if he prays sitting, then all of you pray sitting all together. Then all of you pray sitting all together. So we have seen many of the benefits and the rulings related to this narration and the previous narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhuma, and many of the same rulings are derived from them. But there are some issues that we did not discuss with regards to these narrations. And we see from that is the issue of the imam. If he sits down while praying, how should those pray behind him? If the imam, he sits down while praying, how should those be behind him? Should they sit down also, or should they stand? Because it is clear in this narration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered them to sit down along with him. And also in the end of this narration, and in the end of the previous narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to his companions, وَإِذَا صَلَّى جَالِسًا فَصَلُّوا جُلُوسًا أَجْمَعُونَ, and if the imam prays sitting down, then all of you pray sitting down altogether. Then all of you pray sitting down altogether. So based upon what is apparent from this narration, if the imam, he prays sitting, then the people praying behind him will pray sitting. But there is another narration that had come in the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this narration here, Ibn Hibban rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 354. He has a book called Sahih Ibn Hibban, from the famous books of hadith. He mentioned that this event here, whenever he fell from his horse sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this prayer here inside of his home along with his companions because of a wound and an injury from riding on the horse, this happened in the month of Dhul-Hijjah, in the As-Sana Al-Khamisa, in the fifth year of the Hijrah, in the fifth year of the Hijrah. But in the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he prayed with Abu Bakr and the companions. And Abu Bakr, he had begun leading the prayer because of the sickness that he died in, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet came out, and then he joined the prayer, and Abu Bakr backed away from the imamah and leading the prayer. And the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he led the rest of the prayer while he was sitting. And Abu Bakr and the rest of the companions, they remained standing. So some of the people of knowledge have mentioned that this narration is abrogating the narration that the author has mentioned here. That the narration and the event that occurred in the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he prayed sitting down and the companions prayed behind him standing, and he did not reprimand them, nor did he direct them to do something different, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they mentioned that this abrogates the ruling found in this narration, that if the imam he prays sitting, then those who pray behind him should pray sitting also. But the people of knowledge, they have principles with regards to dealing to evidences that appear to have this issue of contradiction, or that are contrary in the apparent wording and the likes like this. And from those ways is that if one of the texts comes later and one is before, then this would be considered nasikh wal mansukh, yani the abrogating verse and the verse that is abrogated. But the people of knowledge will not go to this issue of abrogation if there's a possible way to understand both narrations and to bring harmony between the two of them and to apply both of them. And this is the case with some of the people of knowledge, particularly at Imam Ahmed rahimahullahu ta'ala. He mentioned here there's no need to mention, or there's no need to say that this is a ruling that is abrogated, because it's possible to apply and use both narrations in proper light and proper understanding. And that is the case that these two narrations here of Abu Hurairah and Aisha radiallahu anhuma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he began the prayer sitting. He began the prayer sitting, and therefore those who pray behind him, they are sitting likewise. But if we look into the prayer in the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, at this time Abu Bakr, he began the prayer standing. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he entered upon the prayer and he completed it while he was sitting. And at this time, those praying behind him, they prayed standing. So therefore, Imam Ahmed and other than him from the people of knowledge, rahimahumullahu jami'an, they mentioned that if the imam, he begins the prayer standing, and then during the prayer, he sits down, And he began standing, and then for some reason, because of an injury or for a sickness or whatever the case may be, he sits down in the middle of the prayer, then the people praying behind him, they will remain standing. But as for the case, if the imam, he begins the prayer sitting down, and then those praying behind him likewise will pray sitting down. So therefore, it's clear, and there is harmony between these two narrations, and they are both understood in the proper light. And this is called al-jam'u bayn al-hadithain. And this takes precedence over claiming that one of the narrations or one of the rulings is abrogated. Because in this manner, by making jam'a and bringing harmony and unity between the narrations, we work with both narrations, and this is better. This is better than leaving off one narration and claiming or mentioning that it's abrogated. So no doubt there are some times whenever there are evidences that's clear that the rulings have been abrogated, but this issue of abrogation will not be considered if it's possible to apply both narrations in a proper light without going to extremes and the likes like this. And this is possible here. So therefore, again, the understanding of this is that if the imam, he is praying and he is standing, he begins standing, and then sometime during the prayer he sits down, those praying behind him, they will pray standing. As for the case of if the imam, he is sitting from the beginning of the prayer, then those who are praying behind him, they will pray sitting like him. Some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is only the case with the imam that is ratib, the imam that he is the imam of the masjid, and he is the one who leads the prayer daily, and he has been affected by a sickness, but it is hoped that he will become well soon. As for just anybody who is going to lead the prayer, and there are several people to lead the prayer, and then somebody picks a man who cannot stand during the prayer, this is not recommended. Rather, the one who should lead the prayer is the one who is able to stand and fulfill this pillar. But if the imam of the masjid, and he is the one who leads the prayer daily, he becomes sick, and then this is a type of sickness that, and normally it will be removed, and it's hoped that it will go away and he will be cured if he prays in this manner. This is the ruling. As for if the people are praying, or if the brothers, for example, are going to pray together, and they have a choice who they're going to have lead their prayer, they will not pick the one to lead their prayer who is not able to stand. Rather, they will choose somebody else who is able to stand. And Allah knows best. So we see that this is the issue with regards to the imam whenever he prays sitting, and we've seen the details with regards to that. Also in this narration of Aisha radiallahu anha, we see that it's permissible to point in the prayer and to direct the people by ishara and by body language or body movement or moving the hand and the likes like this, to point to the people to do something if there's a need. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did here, he pointed to them to sit down, and he with his hand sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also we see the great importance of following the imam properly, and as has been the discussion in the past several classes, the importance of al-ihtimam wal-iqtida' wal-mutaba'ah, following the imam properly. And we see the great importance that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave to in this narration and to the issue of following, and that even he dropped the pillar of standing for those praying behind them so that they can be in accordance with their imam, so that they can be unified in accordance with their imam. And he is sitting down, so they should sit down too. But it's an obligation, rather a pillar from the prayer for those who are able to stand. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he dropped this pillar and this obligation for them to stand in order for them to be following their imam properly. So this is an indication of the greatness of this issue, that we should not take it lightly, or a believer should not take it lightly, following the imam, hastening before him, or delaying way behind him, in a manner that is not proper, or performing the actions right along with him, but rather one will follow accordingly and in a timely manner. Also, from the benefits of this narration, we see that the people of knowledge, they mention that what is referred to here with regards to following the imam, following the imam, and yani whenever he moves and whatever he does, those who follow behind him, they do the same thing. They do the same thing. This is with regards to the movements from that occur throughout the prayer from position to position, like the takbir and the standing and the moving to ruku' and then raising from ruku' and then moving to sujood and then raising from sujood and then standing back up and the likes like this. These are the movements that this ihtimam is referred to and following, this mutaba'ah, and following the imam and being led in this manner. These are the actions that are referred to, not every action in the prayer. But rather, for example, if the imam, he did not raise his hands while raising from ruku', for example, then he did not follow the sunnah. So the person praying behind him, he will not say, oh, it's an obligation for me to follow the imam, so if he leaves the sunnah, I leave the sunnah. La, that's not what is intended. Or for example, if the imam, he made tawarruk in the Fajr prayer, then the one praying behind him, he does not believe that that is the proper place to make tawarruk based upon the narrations. And this is what is correct. Yani in the Fajr prayer, there's no tawarruk, there's only iftirash. And these issues will come, inshallah, in the description of the prayer. But if the imam, he made tawarruk in the Fajr prayer, then the ma'mum, who does not find that to be the correct position based upon the evidences, he will not do that, and this is not an obligation to do that, and this is not what is intended from al-ihtimam and being led and followed in the prayer, but rather the movements that are related to the intiqanat and moving from position to position in the prayer. This is the one that the obligation of following here and being led is being referred to. Likewise, if the imam, for example, he put his hands below his belly button, and the person praying behind him did not find that to be the best position with regards to this issue based upon the evidence, but rather he would raise his hands onto his chest area or upper above his belly button and the likes like this, then he would do that. He will do that, and this is not an obligation to follow the imam in that. Or in raising from ruku', maybe the imam, he will leave his hands down, and the person praying behind the imam, he finds the position to put his hand back on his chest together at this time. This is permissible for him to do that, and this is not considered differing with the imam. What is intended by the obligation of following the imam and not differing with him, this is in the movements of the prayer, going from one position to the next. Going from one position to the next. So this is something that should be clarified. Also, we've seen in the previous narration the importance of not differing with the imam, وَلَا تَخْتَلِفُوا عَلَيْهِ, and do not differ with the imam. Another issue the people of knowledge mentioned with regards to this, what is not included is the intention, and that it's permissible for a person who is leading the prayer to have the intention to pray an obligatory prayer, and the one praying behind him could have the intention of a non-obligatory prayer. Or the one leading that prayer could have an intention for a specific obligatory prayer, and the one praying behind him could have an intention for a different obligatory prayer, and this is not considered differing with the imam, and this is permissible. Or likewise, the imam could be leading the prayer, and he has the intention for a non-obligatory prayer, and those praying behind him could have an intention for an obligatory prayer, and all of this is correct, and this is not considered differing with the imam, the differing that is not permissible, and this is allowed. And the narration will come, inshallah, in the book of Salah, with regards to Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, that he used to pray the Isha prayer with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in congregation, and then he would return back to his village and to his people, and he would lead them in the same prayer. So therefore he would pray behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam the obligatory prayer to catch the virtue of the congregational prayer with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then return to his own people and lead them in the Isha prayer with the intention of Salat al-Nafila, and they would have the intention to make the obligatory prayer, and this was something that was known to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he allowed that. So therefore, to understand any of the actions that it's an obligation to follow in the prayer, they are the actions that are related to moving from one position in the prayer to the next. Not all of the actions are intended here, but rather the actions that are from moving from one position of the prayer to the next. And we close with that. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.